Welcome to episode 243 of the Ben Briggs podcast. I am Ben Briggs. It is, there we are, we've nailed the start. It is Saturday. Saturday, people. Saturday the 26th of September, fucking November. 2022. I'm all over the place, people. I'm all over the place today. It is precisely 11:30 in the evening. I have just got back from a gig that I did tonight. We are squeezing in under the wire. I'm just checking everything's still recording because I've tried to squeeze it in under the wire for you to get it done on time. And hopefully we can time it right this time because I've managed to work out how to do everything on here with regards to getting it done properly. I'm a bit all over the place. I was racing back from the gig so I could do this. I actually usually I just fuck off straight from gigs. But I stayed because there was people there who I liked. I know. So I was staying for a bit of a chat and it was a good fucking night, to be honest. I've been in Bedworth, I think they call it over that way. I don't know, it's down the road. It was like 32 miles from my house. It's fucking ideal for a Saturday night. It was a gig at a football club, Satcher, to our American friends. We'll get back to Friday. We'll get back to last night, won't we? Mentioning our American friends and the Satcher. It was a nice night. It was, I thought it was going to be fucking rowdy tonight. And it was a little, it's a weird thing doing anything like a sports club or anything like that. Anything where most people are not anonymous to each other. Like at a comedy club, if you're doing a weekend gig at a club, most people don't know each other. So they're like strangers in the crowd. They're strangers to each other. Whereas anything like a football club do, or a rugby club do, or a charity do that I did like last night, it's very much sort of everybody knows each other. So there's a different fucking vibe to the room. You can take the piss a little bit, you know. I know it's an easy thing to say, sort of like, just fucking rip the piss out of people and other people will laugh. But it has that pretty much that vibe about it at those sort of gigs. But tonight was really lovely. I opened, so I should have been home. I don't know. I could have been leaving at about 8:30. I think it started about 8:00. I got on about like 8:15. Did 20 minutes and then usually I fuck off. I float out of there. But there was a nice little area where we were sitting. There was other comedians on who I like. So I was sitting around chatting with them for a bit and enjoying the ambiance of the gig. The gig went quite well. I was quite happy with it. So there we go. That was my evening, people. It was all right. It was just fucking rowdy. It was rowdy. It was loud. It's always a bit of a weird one because you think it's going to be, you think you're going to, when you walk into I walked into the room tonight and I thought this could be a little bit, this could go either way, to be honest. But it went nice. It went nice. And I hung around for a little bit. I watched Lavelle Smith in the middle. He did really well. And then I watched a bit of Pat Monahan at the end. But that could well still be going on now. fame for his timekeeping. But he's a lovely bloke. But he can overrun every now and again. So I fucked off and came home and it was like about About 40 minutes, something like that. I know. Lovely. Just what you needed on a Saturday night. And I am about to get this fucking podcast done and then smash that out and then watch The Sopranos. I've been re-watching that this week. Fucking unbelievable, innit? I know. The life we lead, people. The life we lead. Anyway, yeah, so Friday was a bit of a weird day for me because I had a hospital appointment. I know, don't you worry, people. This is a story behind the hospital appointment, by the way. I go for a fucking, I get some sort of infection in my gum or something like that last week or the week before. And I go down the doctors, our faithful NHS, because it's all fucking free here in the UK. Oh, yeah. Everything apart from prescriptions. And, yeah, so I go to the doctors. They fucking misdiagnose me with, it's basically a bit the inside of my mouth or whatever, and it's got infected. I know, it sounds disgusting. But they misdiagnosed it at, what do they misdiagnose? Oral thrush. Nice. That's not what you want to hear coming from out your doctor's mouth. It's not what you want in your own mouth either, is it? Because you know when you get diagnosed with something like that, you've got that weird thing with a doctor where you think that they're thinking he's been putting his mouth around something he shouldn't be putting it around. Ain't ya? And you don't know if they're thinking that, but you think that they're thinking that, so you overcompensate and go, oh, how does that happen? Oh, well, it's just a normal infection that happens in the mouth or whatever, you dirty little licking bastard. Hey! I haven't been licking nothing, Doc. That's what you want to say. Like, can I just clarify for you that I know this looks bad for me, but I have not been putting my mouth around anything I shouldn't be putting it around. Can we just clarify that? Hey, take that out of the notes. Suspected pervert in brackets. Yeah, so that was a misdiagnosis. And then they gave me some antibiotics just for the thing. But when I went back to the doctors, they gave me some different antibiotics. And antibiotics, by the way, that I didn't realise when you hit your 40s, it can have an adverse effect on your bowel movements. That's nice. That's nice to find out, isn't it? Never happened before with antibiotics. But now, all of a sudden, they're triggering my bowels. Anyway, let's try and keep this a bit clean. So I go back and then, they said, oh, we're just going to refer you down to the hospital because it could be suspected, mouth cancer. Excellent. Fucking great. Go to your dentist and then we'll book you in. For like 2 weeks' time. So it must have been like 2 weeks ago or whatever, because I went like Friday for this appointment. When I wasn't that bothered about it. You don't have to, I know, a lot of people would be posting this shit up on Facebook or something like that, but it's not something I was like overly concerned with, because I went to see my dentist and it was almost like some sort of like mafia. Oddly enough, watching The Sopranos at the minute, Mafia, hey, I was like, hey, Dennis, you know, like just under, on the DL, on the down low, I'm not going to hold you to this, but you know, just to set my mind at rest, have a look in the old gob there, mate, check that out at the back there, that sort of like swelling sort of thing, is that a, and he was just like, yeah, that's not, I'd be very surprised if that's mouth cancer. Off the record, obviously. It was like some sort of dodgy deal I'd done with him. Hey, just tell me it's off the record. Nobody's listening. Yeah, I'm not recording our conversation. Just let me know. Is that going to be mouth cancer or not? No, it's not. On that note, let's have a little bit of tea. So anyway, I go down to the doctors, down to the hospital yesterday. And I'm looking for the department and whatever. It's you're trying to look on the map for the hospital because you need a map for a hospital because there's so many different fucking departments in there. And in Northampton, the place where I had to go, which is like the maxofacial unit or something like that, is right in there. Oddly enough, here we come back to thrush of the mouth. It's right in the same fucking door as the old GUM clinic. There you go. You turn right if you're going in the maxofacial unit, or carry on straight down the end for all those snotty cocks. Yeah. So that was nice, going in there. So I'm waiting in there. Doctor comes. You don't have to wear a face mask, by the way. That was false propaganda. I don't know why people... I walked in there with like a fucking kino with my little mask, expecting to get a few brownie points with the old hospital staff down there. And you don't have to wear a fucking face mask anymore. I don't know what it is with my doctors. Must be the only people hanging on to that. Unless it's because it's primarily old people who sit in like a doctor's surgery. It's particularly where, like, my doctor's is based in the village I grew up in. So it's, you know, it does very much look like a dignitas waiting room in there, to be honest. There's very, very old people in masks. It looks like, basically, my doctor's surgery looks like a film of old crooks that are doing one last job. That's what it looks like in my doctor's surgery. They're all fucking masked up, doddering in at various angles, you know, 45-degree angle. I don't know what that is with old people when they're, you know, when they get to a certain age, people just... It doesn't seem to be a gradual thing. You never see anyone in their 40s or 50s bent at a sort of 45-degree angle or 90-degree angle. But there's old people walking around that see nothing ahead of them. They're just looking at their feet all the time. Their backs are fucked. It's either their backs are fucked or they've done manual labour or just, I don't know. What it is, somebody's just, who's bending these old people in half? That's going to happen to me, isn't it? Now I've taken the piss. So I get in the doctor's, I get into the hospital to see the doctor. She is nice, a bit too familiar, but like, it's weird, isn't it? You go in there, you're a little bit worried, and you're a little bit worried about everything. And she goes, 1977. That's the same year I was born. Okay, good. Excellent. I don't know what I'm meant to do with that information, sweetheart. We're in the same year at school. You've clearly done very well for yourself. You're a doctor. Well done. Congratulations. I do stand up. You know. I don't know. Do you want me to ask, like, how are you doing? You married with kids? Happy home life? Excellent. No, I live on my own, sweetheart. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, she had a look around the old mouth and that, and just like commented on my brushing. I don't know. It would just seem very odd why a doctor would comment on that. You seem to be brushing well. Yeah, all right, I get this from my dentist. Yeah? You don't need to build me up. Just tell me what I want to know. And, yeah, so we got a bit of the all clear there. So that was good. It's just the whole thing about anything like that. You get the letter through or whatever, and it says sort of like suspected mouth cancer, and you're like, oh, fucking hell. And then your brain starts like fucking going, oh, shit, I fucking smoked for years, man. I smoked for years. And then you start thinking back and going, and then you're just like, well, if I'm fucked, I'm fucked. But hopefully that shouldn't be the case. that I have been, I've been told that is not the case anyway. So that's a good thing. That was a bit of an odd day, and then I had a I was down there fucking hours, obviously, because it's the NHS. That's the thing about the NHS. Obviously, for people of a foreign disposition listening to this, the NHS, it's fucking free to us here. You know what I mean? Well, we say it's free. It comes out of national insurance payments or whatever, but you know, it's free to use. You have to pay for your prescriptions. They're about £9 or whatever, right? But the thing is, now everything's changed. When COVID was on, when COVID was at its peak, when it was, you know, smashing the shit out of the world, it had a real good run, COVID, didn't it? It had a good run. Now it's sort of like a fucking parrot on our shoulder, isn't it? We're just waiting for it to come back with a vengeance at some point. There's always that looming, you know. Although there always seems to be some sort of looming pandemic in the background that's going to wipe us all out. Yeah, so when that was like at its height or whatever, everybody was like, "Ah, the NHS, they're the fucking greatest. They're heroes out there, heroes." And now everything's died down a little bit. Everybody's like, "Oh, fucking NHS." And even the nurses and doctors are meant to be striking soon for extra pay, which seems a little bit, I don't know, man. A few people will be taking them claps back, particularly if they can't get treated for what they need to be treated for. Let's have a little bit more tea. Hang on. So, last night, I picked up a gig. There was some acts on who I know, some acts on I didn't know. Before last night, Demetrius Deitch was compere, and I was opening again. I know, look at that, opening. Oh, Benny boy, opening with a bit of filth and a bit of dark jokes. And then Sean Percival was closing that one. But that was, I didn't know this. I applied for the gig. It was in, oh, fuck knows, Shenstone, near Lichfield. It was near Lichfield, right? So we get to the gig. It's at a village hall, community centre type place, right? And I was like, okay, right, okay. So they're just like having a comedy night at a village hall, community centre type place or whatever. I get in the green room. The woman, I think I got there first. The woman greets me and goes, "Yeah, that's, it's really great. Thanks for coming along," stuff like that. "We're hoping to raise quite a bit of money for the charity." And you're like, oh, they're doing it as like a charity raising thing. And it's always a bit weird because as an act, you're getting paid for it. So you're taking, obviously, money out of the coffers or thanks for raising money for charity. I'm going to take part of that money now and blow it on nonsense. It kind of feels like that a little bit, but obviously we're doing a job and we need to get paid, people. We don't, you know. We ain't like the NHS staff. We ain't going to go on strike. If anything, they'll just lower our wages and we'll just gig for it anyway. That seems the general consensus in the comedy world. They'll get somebody on stage to tell a few jokes for less money. So I get there, and then one of the other acts gets there, and we were like, "So," and she goes, "Oh, I just wanted to do a speech at the start, if that's okay." At which point, your heart sort of drops as an act because you're like, "Oh, fuck! What's the charity for?" And it was for the air ambulance because apparently it was a comedy night for two people had died, at which point you're like, oh, fuck. Because numerous times that's happened where people like are raising money for somebody and they've died and they give a speech or they give an over emotional speech and they're, you know, they're like, yeah, this is for Joan. Joan died of fucking head cancer. Her head ended up being 18 times the size it usually is. There was a massive tumor that was growing out of her throat, went up her nose, and finally she died as it sort of like pierced her eardrums. And you're standing there on the side as an act and you're going, oh, fucking hell. Anyway, time for comedy now after hearing that about Joan. Yeah, so it's always a bit of a difficult one. And one of the other acts said, oh, well, probably best to do that at the end or whatever. And the lady looked, I felt for her a little bit because she was a really, she was a nice lady. And she just looked a little bit crestfallen by it. Like she wanted to say something. She just didn't want the night to sort of like just be a she wanted to have a say or whatever and just say a few little things dedicated to those people, which obviously she's got a full right to do. She's got a full right to fuck up the comedy night. She's booked it. So what we ended up doing, which actually was a good way of doing it, actually, she says a bit, then we play a bit of intro music for about 5 minutes after that. So she, I felt a bit sorry for her. I know, I've grown a conscience somewhere along the lines, people. But yeah, I just felt a bit sorry for her. She looked very crestfallen when we said about possibly doing it at the end. So we got her to do it at the start, then played a little bit more music for about 5-10 minutes. And then we started the comedy night. It went all right. Those things are always... any sort of like raising money, again, it's a different dynamic because people are there from the people who died right through to people who have just stumbled in or heard about it or just want to support the organizer or just from the local area or friends of friends. And you're like, just, you know, it's difficult to ask. So what the fuck did they die of? Just in case, you know. You don't want it to be they died of a plane crash and then you've got 10 minutes worth of material on a plane crash. Seems a little inappropriate to be doing that. I think one of them, it was a car crash or something like that and they weren't very old. So, you know, it's dodgy territory. You want to make it a nice... this is how selfish stand-up comedians are, right? You want to make it a good night for everybody, but you don't want to die on your ass just because somebody has died in a fucking accident. That's it, isn't it? You feel like going, look, lady, I know there's you're trying to raise money for people who died here tonight, but we don't want another death on stage. So keep your fucking sentimental shit short and sweet, yeah? And then we can all get on and enjoy ourselves. And more importantly, I can get paid and get my ego, the ego boost I need, yeah? All right, sweetheart. Stop your fucking crying. They're gone, yeah? They're gone. I've got jokes to tell. Come on. That's what it... Fucking hell, that's what it feels like sometimes. It felt like that, like we were all just going, oh, come on, lady, we're here to have a good night. Don't put a downer on the evening, yeah? We'll raise some money for the air ambulance. You know, that clearly may not have worked in this case, but, you know. That's the selfish side of being a stand-up. Even if you are doing sort of like charity nights for people and stuff like that, you still don't want the evening to be fucked up by sentimental little speeches that are happening. Commemorating. You know, if there was a mass school shooting or something like that and they decide, God knows why, to have a comedy night. Probably not best to do shooting material tonight because obviously there were 35 students that were killed and 8 teachers killed in... Oh, fucking hell. I've got a fucking great bit about guns and why we need them. Shit. What do you mean? That's my closer, man. That is my closer. I can't... I'm not wasting my closer just because this is a comedy night for a school shooting. What's wrong with you? Let's have a little bit more tea. The selfishness of stand-up comedians there. But the gig went all right. I got away with it anyway. It was a bit of a tough old start, but they got on board. By the end of it, they were all right. The lady was really sweet, to be perfectly honest, and she looked after us quite well, which was nice. And then obviously tonight was nice as well. The rest of the stuff I've been doing, I've been mainly investing in this Holocaust stroke World Cup. I don't know, not that it is a Holocaust at all, but it is. This is the most controversial World Cup ever until the next one, I imagine. Isn't the next one in Canada, Mexico, and the USA? I wonder what they can do with that. I don't know. They're going to bring up the Afghan-Iraqi war, something like that. Canada's fine. Maybe that'll be the thing with the next World Cup. That's why Mexico and America have gone, yeah, we're going to have to offset some of our fucking horrendous shit we've done in the past. Who can we do that with? Canada. Maybe that's the future with World Cups. People who have a bad historical record when it comes to human rights can just hold it twinned with another country. You know, North Korea and Luxembourg will be hosting the next World Cup. I don't think Luxembourg have ever done anything, have they? That'll be it, won't it? Saudi Arabia and the Isle of Man. They just offset, so they just can't, you know. It's like carbon offset it. That's what they'll do. Human rights offsetting. That's what they'll do. Yeah, you might think we're assholes, but, you know, these guys are really nice. Switzerland, they don't seem to have done anything bad, do they, apart from money laundering? That seems to... Chocolate and money laundering, you know. Anyway, the World Cup marches on, people. I have noticed one thing about the World Cup, which is kind of like I noticed it and then I keep noticing it. It's the condemnation. The TV pundits, all of them, I have never seen such condemnation of a World Cup. It's like... every fucking pundit or presenter on there has said either the World Cup shouldn't be held there, they've mentioned the human rights violation, they've mentioned the fact that the LGBTQ armbands, One Love armbands, One Love armbands that the teams should be wearing that FIFA haven't allowed because FIFA want to get their money from the Qataris. Every single pundit seems to have condemned it, which is obviously their right to do and that sort of thing. I'm only fucking around, but it seems they seem to every one of them has made a real point about it. It's as if they're like, oh, fuck, I need to say something. I'm over here right now. I'm literally taking the money, possibly from the Qataris. Actually, they would be paying FIFA, wouldn't they? ITV would be paying. They're not taking any of the Qataris' money, are they? The pundits, I imagine. That gets rid of that argument. But it just seems that like they've all gone, oh, fuck. It's because there's such mass hysteria on Twitter and things like that. It's like essentially outside the studios, there's like a witch hunt with pitchforks and fucking torches, and all of the presenters are aware of this fucking things that are going on outside of the World Cup, that people are disgusted with it and they distance themselves from it. It's almost like they're in a game and going, that's a beautiful ball across there. Just missed out on a flying header there. Just hit the bar. What do you think of that? Well, just over the bar there, just over the bar. Oh, very close. But I'd just like to make a point about the human rights violations that are going on here, which I was reminded by that flying header. Very... Just cutting off, making their point, and then straight back into the game. Anyway, we're kicking off again at half time here. I don't know, man. It's it just made me laugh how so many of the pundits have commented on it. That's all. I didn't watch the England game last night, by the way, because I was gigging. I did want to get, not that, you know, England America 0-0. You know, what I was going to do all night, I'd gone, I don't want to know the result. I don't want to know the result while I'm at the gig and that. I don't want to know the result because obviously the game kicked off at 7, didn't it? And I pulled up to the gig at just gone 7, about 7:05 or something. So I thought I'll make the conscious decision not to watch the game. And then I got curious and... when I got back, I was going to watch it. By the time I got back, the game was over and I just looked at the score and saw it was 0-0 and just went, I ain't... What's the fucking point? I don't want to see a 0-0 draw with America in such a game. God knows how the Americans have coped with that, by the way. A 0-0 draw, because all of their sports are massively high-scoring sports. Basketball, baseball, and fucking American football. So I don't know how they wrap their head around the fact that there's a... you can play a sport for 90 minutes and there's no score whatsoever. But I am continued in to watch the wokest... This has got to be the wokest World Cup, hasn't it? Even that now, like, you know, even with all the bad press that FIFA have had and shit like that, they're still making fucking mistakes. Not where, you know, not let allowing people to wear the One Love armband or whatever. I mean, does it? I know the rules in Qatar. They don't like homosexuals out there and that sort of thing. But it's not, you know, it's not promoting that, is it? You know, it's just like supporting, you know, gay rights and things, isn't it? And the LGBTQ community. And then you've got people like football teams having their fucking mouths covered on like as if they've been silenced and shit like that. I don't know. FIFA still seem to be making mistakes. It looks like a lot of the... There's going to be some sort of like mass leaving of FIFA from the European clubs, which would absolutely close it down. I don't know why they just don't take it away from them. Surely, you know, just take it away from FIFA. Just somebody set up something else. Make it more liberal. Make it a little bit more with the times and close them fuckers down. Surely they can do that, can't they? They're a governing body of football. They've shown to be a corrupt. They've shown to be like just money hungry, apart from when it, you know, they must be getting a lot of fucking money because, like, they, you know, Budweiser, one of the main sponsors or whatever, hasn't seen anything. The next Budweiser advert, you know what it ought to be? Do you remember that old Budweiser advert? Because they've been closed down, haven't they? Like during the World Cup, they were meant to be serving Budweiser in the stadiums and shit like that and paid for that. But like that's not going ahead because of the rules out in Qatar. The next Budweiser advert ought to be that old advert. I think it was from the 90s. The what's up? What's up? That's it, isn't it? What's up? And one of those on the phone, one of those guys on the phone going, "What's up?" And then just it cuts to a Qatar guy dressed in the national dress of Qatar, and he just puts the fucking phone down. That's what the fucking advert for Budweiser should be. That's how they ought to get back at it. If I ought to be in the fucking marketing department for Budweiser, but that ought to be the advert for it. Just a guy going, "What's up?" on the phone, and then just like, possibly somebody from FIFA would be better in FIFA offices. Just putting the phone down on him. Anyway, people, holy fucking shit, we've done 35 minutes. I think we've done 35 minutes. Anyway, by the old new fucking timer on this. That is episode 243 of the Ben Briggs podcast. This is happening every Tuesday and Saturday, people. I've just snuck in. It's now just clicked over to Sunday morning. So we're back on Tuesday, motherfuckers. Have a good rest of your weekend, and I'll speak to you then. Take care.